This morning, we're in the book of Jonah. If you remember last week, I preached point one of my three-point sermon. And so I kind of predicted that would probably happen. You know, when we look at the book of Jonah, I was trying to give us some background in that as we look at the book of Jonah, that we're not looking at it as a symbolic book. We look at it as a historical account of a missionary, if you will, a Jewish missionary being sent to the Assyrians in Nineveh. Nineveh is the capital city of the Assyrian Empire. And as we see that Jonah is being sent, we find that Jonah doesn't want to go. The difficulties that this is for him, and we see the turmoil that is going on in Jonah, that we as God's people are so easily for us to, if you will, relate, right? God tells us to go. And in chapter 1, the first three verses, we actually, I think, only covered like verse 1 and 2. And in that, we determined that God is calling, the word of the Lord had come. So now Jonah has a message, and then God tells him to arise and go to Nineveh. And when he gets there, he says, I want you to cry out against it. So here Jonah is. He has a difficult mission field that he's being sent to, and he has a difficult message that he's going to deliver. And as we had mentioned last week, that sometimes it's tempting for us to try to take God's message. We try to soften it. We try to ease it. We try to change it to fit our day. But the reality is that God's word is perfect, God's word is true, and it is exactly what we need to hear so that as he shapes our lives, he shapes who we are, that he brings us closer to himself. And in that process, we simply just present God's word as he has already given it. Right, church? Isn't it exciting that we don't have to reinvent the wheel? Isn't it exciting that we don't have to come up with a perfect phrase, a perfect saying, a perfect teaching that would be good for all ages? God has already done that. Amen? He has already provided that. And so when we go to God's word, not our own word, not our own ideas, not our own philosophies, we go to God's word, his authoritative word that he has given, and we simply speak his word. And that's exactly what he told Jonah to do. He sent Jonah into Nineveh. Now, when we get into verse 3, we find Jonah's response to God's call. You know, here, it's interesting, isn't it, that when we read the whole book of Jonah and we kind of know the outcome, right? Spoiler, but you probably already know that Nineveh actually repented. But it takes a little bit for God to get him there. And when we get into this, this is why I love Jonah so much, is that he's relatable. Is he not? We deal with fears. We deal with anger. We deal with being hesitant. We deal with sometimes the message. This is going to be hard to say. This is going to be hard to tell. But when we begin to see Jonah and the struggles that he has, it's like, I can relate. I can relate to that. I can understand. But what is more exciting is that God overall is working in and through all of these things. All the fears that we have, he's already answered. All the hesitations that we may have or the question marks that we may have, he's already answered. And so therefore, when we talk about going as a church, when we talk about reaching out into our community, when we talk about, well, what is it that we should do and how we should do it, God has already given us that very key, and that is that we love others as he has loved us, right? He gives us such a simple formula, but yet the human side of us, we sometimes struggle with just executing what he's called us to do, right? And so when we see that, we realize that God's plan is going to move forward. God's plan is going to move forward. But what God is doing is that he is giving his people an opportunity to follow in obedience and to reach out to those that are around us with the gospel of Christ, that we reach out with a love that only he can perfectly demonstrate. We are in training. We are growing in him. There's a lot of things that get us sidetracked. But my friend, our sole purpose as a church of the Lord Jesus Christ is to proclaim the name of Jesus. Do you understand that, church? That is our primary purpose. And we do so to all people, all nations, and all tongues. That is our purpose, is to proclaim the name of Jesus, in that we are saying we're proclaiming the gospel of Christ, right? So when we look at, I'm just going to go ahead and read verses 1 through 3 one more time to get us back on track here, since we're picking up from last week. Jonah chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare, and he went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Father, we ask for the blessing of the reading of your word. May your spirit move among our hearts as we seek you to apply and implant this within our own hearts. Lord, we thank you for the examples you give us in the Bible. We thank you for the example of Jonah. But may we take courage in knowing that you're in control of all things, that we would seek you to be faithful to you as the example that Jonah has set forth for us. Lord, we love you and we thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're a little surprised to see that here Jonah has a mission field. He's got a job to do. He's even got a message. You know, let me tell you something. As a pastor, there's nothing more exciting than coming into the pulpit with a message that God has given you. Now, you don't have to amen that because you're like, well, okay, if you say so. Teachers, is it not exciting that in your study, as you're preparing for your Sunday school class, Wednesday night Bible study, vacation Bible school, as you're studying, that God just keeps working in you and you're learning new things and you're thinking, well, I've never seen this before. And all the depths of God's Word and the excitement, and we watch as God's Word grows with us as we grow in Him. And it gets exciting that we can't wait to get to share it. Can you relate to me on that part? Some of you that may not be teachers, that maybe you're going through life and you're going through difficulties and you come to a place that you just pour your heart out to the Lord and you're begging for guidance, you're begging for direction, and it just, the Lord answers prayer in such a powerful and mighty way. You can't wait to tell somebody about how good God is and what all that He's done for you. Can you relate to that one? There, I got a few more of you. It's exciting when you have a message to share that God has just done great things. But let me tell you something, that sometimes it's even exciting to share when you're at your lowest point and you thought you couldn't get any lower, and yet God was right there with you the whole time. And He didn't remove you from the situation. He didn't change the circumstance, but He lovingly walked with you through it, something you thought was absolutely impossible. But you come out on the other side, and people say, "I just don't know how you did it." Well, let me share with you, I didn't. God just somehow, one step at a time, got me through this. Church, can you relate to this one? We get all of this, don't we? We get all of this in the example of Jonah. When we see that he has a message, he has a place to go, and yet he runs in the opposite direction. Now, we had talked about last week, just to remind you, why didn't he want to go to the Assyrians? The reputation of the Assyrians was horrible. They were a violent people. And when they would go and they would conquer nations, it was horrible, the torture that they would do upon their enemies and those that they captured. And they did so to strike fear into all the other nations around them. They were just an idolatrous community and people that just worshipped many gods and many idols. And so we see that Jonah's like, this is the last people I want to go to. Now we may not agree or want to admit, but we have those prejudices, don't we? My friend, there's no place for it. Not in God's work, not in God's word. We are all His creation. We are His children. And you know what? There's nothing more frustrating than when your children are fighting back and forth and bickering at each other. And then one of them wants to say, "Well, I'm your favorite." My goodness, you have no idea the depths of my love for all of you. You're all annoying, and I love you. Parents, can you relate? They're all vying for position. It's like, you have no idea. I love all of you. I just want you to knock it off and love each other the way I love you. Isn't that exactly what the Father is telling us? Oh, but we get hung up on all the wrong things. If we would take as much energy and as passion as we do in fighting others and put it into loving each other, my goodness, how God could get a hold of our hearts. Amen? But all at the same time, we can say, it's relatable. God, check my heart. Amen? God, check my heart. Now, here's something that's interesting. That Jonah goes down to Joppa. And if you kind of get a layout of the land, Israel's kind of down here in the bottom, and then you've got Joppa here on the east, or I'm sorry, the west coast of it, and then we see Nineveh is way up here. So by Jonah's travel, it was only about, I think it was about 500 miles that he would have to go in order to reach Nineveh. Now, it's a bit of a long trip, but he could have just took a boat up and then walked over about 3 days' journey. But what Jonah did, he goes down to Joppa, and it's right there on the sea, and he gets in a boat, and he goes the exact opposite direction to Tarshish. Do you know how far Tarshish is? We're talking about Spain. It's about 2,000 miles. He wants to get a long way away, doesn't he? Has God ever just put something on your heart and guided you to an answer, guided you to a decision, and you just did everything that you could to ignore it? I have. Have there been callings that he has put on your life and it's like, oh, no, not me. Somebody else needs to do that. And we may not physically get on a boat and try to get away, but yet mentally, yet in our daily activities, we just let everything else get in the way. We let everything else make our time busy. We give our time, we give our energy, we give ourselves to everything else, and God just keeps patiently waiting, and you can quietly hear him tapping his foot in the back of your spirit. He's still waiting on me, but I'm just too busy. Got too much going on. I got to go over here. I got to go do this. And we put all those energies, and we may not realize until the preacher brings it up on a Sunday morning, is that, wow, I'm not just busy, I'm ignoring God. I'm not pointing fingers, but I'm asking us to look at Jonah as a good example of there's times that we can get sidetracked and we think all of these things are controlling us when in reality they're not. People will do what people want to do. That's what we're prone to do. But when we love the Lord, we're prone to love the Lord, right? Do you understand? When we begin to look at this, we're beginning to realize is that it's not a problem of Jonah's calling. It's not a problem that there's no mission field to go to. It's not a problem that he didn't have a message to take. The problem is that Jonah was struggling with a heart problem, and so God has to address his messenger. Jonah is fleeing, literally going in the opposite direction of what God had called him to do. What is it that keeps him from this? We can only presume that it was probably fear. You know, I had mentioned to you that the prophet Hosea had already been prophesying to Israel, the northern kingdom, and says, if you do not turn to the Lord and repent, he names them by name. God will use the Assyrians to lead you into captivity. So this was already being prophesied even during the time of Jonah's calling to go to Nineveh. So can you imagine the struggle that he had? Is that God's sending me to a nation of people that he's going to use them to judge our own people. What are they going to think of me going out here and trying to preach to them and lead them to repentance? Oh, he's in a pickle, isn't he? But maybe he's even fear of what they're going to do to him. Or maybe it was just out of hate that he was determined to hate these people and not go to them. Folks, can you see where we're going? This is a heart problem. This is a heart problem. And sometimes that's hard for me to admit that many times I don't go and I don't do because it is a heart problem. But when we see that Jonah refuses to go, it speaks more about Jonah than it does the Assyrian people. Yes, they have a bad reputation. Yes, they were a difficult people to go to. But my friend, do we not expect sinners to be resistant to God and His truth? Aren't we expectant that sinners will be as sinners do? But shouldn't God's people be as God's people should be? We accept that sinners will be sinners, but shouldn't God's people be what God has called us to be? Do you remember that in the first message that God was reminding Israel that I wanted to use you as a missionary to the other nations? I'm going to use you to bring my glory into view so that the other nations will see and then will follow. They had forgotten their missional call. Here we thought it's just a New Testament thing, but my friend, God has been a missional God from the very beginning. He wants to restore His creation. He wants to restore those who do not know Him. So what keeps us from going? Fear. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. How do we overcome this? There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. You know, there have been songs that have been written, there have been poems that have been written about the undying and unfailing love that one can have for another. There's been movie channels that rest on nothing but love stories, right? There are series of movies that are all done on just nothing but, oh, how wonderful love is. Oh, how far they will go. And doesn't that just make it even more romantic? How far will he go to capture his heart and his love, right? That's what changes things, right? But yet when we begin to look at it as our spiritual attitude of how that we go, whether or not we go speaks more of what we're going to, but it speaks of our hearts, right? We would like to make the excuse of, well, where he's asking me to go, that's just too difficult. What he's asking me to do, I just don't think I can. What he's asking, oh, it's just not a good time. But yet, have you ever heard someone that was so in love that any of that made any difference? If we truly love the Lord, then all excuses are removed. Amen? The fear is gone because we know that we can trust the one that we love. We know that the one that we love is not sending us to failure, but he's sending us to his glory. Even when people fail, even when we don't do what God has called us to do, God will not fail. Here's something I want us to understand is that God was not shocked that Jonah wouldn't go. I mean, already Israel has not been fulfilling their purpose. And so now he's selecting out one prophet. He says, I want you to go. Oh, he's kind of bulling up. And Jonah's like, no, 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 I'm going to run the opposite direction. But here's what's incredible, is that we find that God is powerful enough to reach broken people with broken people. Oh, we're so concerned about that. I got to be this, I got to be that, and I've got to be perfect. My friend, we can see in Scripture, it truly is simple, but yet the most difficult thing to do is that we love the Lord, we commit ourselves to Him, we follow Him, we obey Him, and we exercise that faith faithfully, daily. We seek His face, we learn of who He is, all that He is. We learn the attributes of who that He is. We understand more deeply how His love is for us, and we surrender to that. And as we fall deeper and deeper in love with the Lord Jesus, we become, He makes us, fishers of men. We're going to get to that in just a minute. I'm going to ask you, does this give us a time to reflect on our own hearts? Is there a root of bitterness or a callousness that has caused us to no longer be concerned for those that are lost? I want to ask you, how is your love language to Christ today? How is your surrender to the Lord and His Word today? God is excited about reaching those that are lost. In Luke chapter 15, He actually gives us three parables. He gives us three parables to show us the value of a person's soul. He gives us a understanding, if you will, of how that He so desires for those that are lost to be found. He gives us a parable of the lost sheep, a parable of the lost coin, and a parable of the lost son, which we know as the prodigal son. In Luke chapter 15, verse 4, he says, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I found my sheep which was lost.' I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over the 99 just persons who need no repentance." And in verse 10, "Likewise I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." Isn't that exciting? Isn't it so applicable to us today that even in their day and age that they would take so much passion, they would put so much energy into looking for that one lost sheep that they had? Well, some may say that, well, they've got 99. What do they need the other one for? Oh, no. There's value in every single one. And so we place value in physical things, and Jesus is trying to open their eyes and their hearts and say, why is it that you don't put value in the spiritual things, in those that are lost, a soul that may be lost for all eternity, separated from God forever and ever? Why don't we put value in these things? And church, I think that's a legitimate question for us today. Oh, we put value in everything else. We invest time and energy in all that we have. How are we doing the same for spiritual things? We should be asking the Lord today, God, instill within our hearts the same value that you have put on us, that we may value those that are around us, and for us to pursue others with a love that only you provide. And then more than that, that as the Lord's people, as the Lord's church, that we can celebrate together. Did you notice what he says? That this was the culture of the day, that when they would lose a sheep or something, they would find it. They want to get together with family and friends and celebrate that we found the sheep. Folks, I want to ask you, when's the last time you celebrated over someone coming to the Lord that you've been sharing the gospel with? I know, now I'm meddling. I know. But you know what? The way that we lead others is that we get to know others. We share the gospel with them. We pray with them. We encourage them. And we try to find opportunities that we can share the word of God and his love for them. And what an exciting time when they come to the Lord. Amen? I'm telling you, it is so contagious. It's so exciting. It will change you. Why? Because that is what God has called us to, church. He has called us to seek lost souls. But here's something that we're always using as an excuse. I said, well, Pastor, I'm just not real sure how to do that. Well, the disciples didn't either. In fact, when Peter and Andrew were out in the ship fishing, they were there on the seashore and they're cleaning out nets, and Jesus come along and says, come follow me. I will make you fishers of men. You know, when you look at that, Their immediate obedience, they left their fishing nets and everything, and they left and they followed him. But here was one of the keys that I think that we miss. Jesus says, I will make you fishers of men. And too often we think that, well, I'm going to do this, and I've got to think of this on my own, and with my own intellect, with my own craftiness, that I'm going to. My friend, you just simply use God's word. You allow the Spirit to guide us. You allow the Spirit to introduce us. We allow the Spirit to give those answers that they need. The Spirit of God is going to work in and through these things. And can I tell you, there is still an opportunity that I give you. If you ever need to know how to share the gospel, I can show you. I've offered that multiple times. And I have multiple ways. Simple, complicated, whatever you want. We can make it just as simple as John 3:16. We can make it simple of just how to share the gospel on your hand. We can have the scriptures with the gospel right in the back of it that explains it all. Do you see, my friend? Church, we're out of excuses. Amen? Let's don't be a Jonah. Let's don't use the excuses to run the other way. Let's experience the joy and the celebration of seeing souls come to Christ. Amen? Matthew 28, verse 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Isn't that exciting? He starts it, I have all authority. There's nothing outside of my strength. There's nothing outside of my sight. There's nothing outside of me. I have all authority. There's nowhere you can go that I control. There's nowhere that you can be that I don't know you're there. There's nothing that you can do, no place that I will ever send you that I'm already there. Amen? But more than that, I have the authority to do any and all that I ask you to do, that I command you to do, that I commission you to do. And then he sends them. He gives them the church. Folks, this is the Great Commission to the church. And he says, I want you as you are going, but yet I'm with you even to the end of the age. Folks, what an exciting time this is. What an exciting time that we have an opportunity. For us today, God is still working and calling. Some may feel that, what about the people that don't hear? What about the people that don't have opportunity? My friend, God's will and his purpose will be accomplished whether or not we're faithful. I want you to think about that. I think we get confused and we get a little haughty in thinking that, well, if I don't go, then they're not going to be saved. My friend, God is only giving us an opportunity for obedience to go and share the greatest story, the greatest love story of all time, the love of Christ for those that are lost, his creation. He's giving us an opportunity to share in the saving work of the Lord Jesus Christ that he has already established. He has already sealed the deal. All we have to do is share with others and then enjoy the celebration of those lost souls that are found. We have many things and opportunities in ministry that we continue to do right here in Lindsay Lane. We have many opportunities. We have been engaging in ministry. If you remember a couple years ago that we just engaged in prayer, Lord, what are those doors that are opening? What are those opportunities that are opening? We've brought in the Excel Homeschool Group. They have been ministering and having their schooling here in the church. We also had seen the Answers Bible Study that has continued to grow our Wednesday night Bible study. We've also seen that as we had many of our church family had gone through times of grieving, we started our Grief Share program and looking for opportunity to have another session with that as well. We continue with our annual Vacation Bible School. Now, some of you can look back and say, whew, that was a good one. We recovered for a week, okay? And so the Lord continues to bless in that. We've increased our efforts in working with New Life Evangelistic Center, and that were opportunities that continue to open up. We also have partnered with Brother Juan Fernandez, and we are now partnering with the Hispanic Mission Work right here in St. Louis. And we've done so as becoming a mother church and working with them. Opportunities as he comes here each Wednesday and has the prayer tent that is set up. We also have joined together with Foreign Mission Work, Brother Michael Quillman in Zambia, Africa, as we continue to see the work there just exploding. And how exciting that God is working there. We also are currently seeking other possible ministries. We're looking and putting out feelers to see there might be opportunities that continue to open up for us right here in Florissant. So I want to ask you, are you involved? Are you becoming a part of what's going on? Are you looking for opportunity to serve? Jonah's escape route is cut short. My last point, verse 4 through 9. Jonah chapter 1, verse 4. But the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken up. Then the mariners were afraid, and every man cried out to his God, and threw the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten the load. But Jonah had gone down into lower parts of the ship, and lain down, and was fast asleep. So the captain came to him and said to him, "What do you mean, sleeper? Arise, call on your God. Perhaps your God will consider us, so that we might not perish." And they said one to another, "Come, let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this trouble has come upon us." So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Then they said to him, "Please tell us, for whose cause is this trouble upon us? What is your occupation? Where do you come from? What is your country? And of what people are you?" So he said to them, "I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and dry land." Interesting turn of events, isn't it? Jonah's got a one-way ticket to Tarshish, and he's on his way. He's running from the Lord. But God interrupts those travel plans, doesn't he? God interrupts those travel plans, brings about a storm that they can no longer progress forward to the point that they're all calling out to their gods. I want to point out something, that everyone on that ship, they were calling out to their gods, but not until one God was called upon did things actually start happening. There were many gods that were cried out to that day, but only one God responded, and that's the one true God, the God of Israel. And so as we see, Jonah is found quietly asleep in the bottom of the boat. I don't know if I should call this courage or just disturbing. The lives of everyone on that boat was in jeopardy, and Jonah is asleep. It's a scary parallel of our churches today, amen? Is the Lord going to catch us asleep and unconcerned for everyone that's around us? Unconcerned and maybe even unaware of the danger that lies ahead of those that don't know the Lord. Maybe the neglect that we are even committing ourselves. But it's interesting that they call and say, call out to your God. And so in this, Jonah remains quiet until lots are drawn, and the lot falls on Jonah. God exposes who it is. God points him out. And now they say, who are you? Where are you from? What people are you from? What is your occupation? And so Jonah reveals it all. Now, we're going to get to this next week, but in Jonah chapter 1, verse 12, Jonah knows exactly what the problem is. In fact, he tells them the solution. He says, pick me up, throw me over into the sea, then the sea will become calm for you, for I know that this great tempest is because of me. I want to ask you, child of God, do we not know when we're off track? Do we not know the conviction of the Spirit of God that keeps drawing us, getting our attention? We do. We do. My friend, don't ignore the Spirit when it's convicting us. Don't ignore the Spirit when He's calling us. There are times He calls us in the middle of the night to have a time of study, and we think, God, why in the world would I be awake at 2 o'clock in the morning? I got to be up at work. Am I the only one to get frustrated with that? But can I tell you, some of the best sermon prep time I have is 2:30 in the morning. The Lord just works. It's quiet. I don't have any excuses. My phone's not going off. I don't have an appointment to go. You know, maybe it's my own fault. I don't know. But God really does some fun work and really gets me pumped up and ready to go for a sermon, sometimes at the weirdest hours. But here's the thing. We don't ignore the Spirit of God. We don't ignore His prompting. And here, Jonah knew exactly what the problem was. But God knows how to get us back on track. He knows how to get us back where we need to be. God calls for His children to return. You know, in Joel, we had just done this study in the book of Joel. He says, now therefore says the Lord, turn to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping and mourning. So rend your heart, not your garment, and return to the Lord your God. For He is gracious, He's merciful, and He's slow to anger and of great kindness, and He relents from doing harm. You know, when we look at all of this, it is interesting. But even in the example of Jonah, it was a storm that was about to consume them all, but yet not a life was lost. They eventually tossed Jonah overboard, but they did it with a great deal of deliberation, and they tried everything that they could and thought maybe there's some other way, and then finally say, God, don't put His blood on our hands. We're doing what He told us to do. Over he goes. Now, there are some things in these examples of Scripture. You know, as difficult as it was for Jonah to follow God's command, what put it in Jonah's mind that the solution for this problem is that you toss me overboard in the middle of the sea, in the middle of a storm? I don't have an answer for that. But God had a solution. God had a plan. And what His plan was, He was going to get his prophet, if you will, His child, back on track. And we're going to visit that next week. I want you to think on It is an easy message today. Just 2 points. Just 2 points. Jonah responds the wrong way to God's calling. What are the things that are keeping you from responding to God's call? Maybe it's just simply faithfulness in your personal life. Maybe it's just faithfulness as a disciple of Christ. Maybe it's just faithfulness in accepting the Lord Jesus as your Savior today. I'm trying to encapsulate all of this in that as we look at Jonah as an example, it's one that we can relate to so well. But yet we see all throughout this small book, God's incredible working of miracles right and left in ways that we even today scratch our heads and try to explain. My friend, we will spend all of eternity trying to understand the vastness of the infinite, eternal, magnificent God that we serve. But one thing that we can know today is that He loves us and He'll never fail. His word will never fail. And so my friend, I'm asking you, what is it that you love today? What is it takes the most of your time? What is it that you give most of your effort to? Who is it that you serve? You can answer that today. We kind of examined Jonah's heart. I'm going to ask you today as the Lord's church, let's examine our heart today. Who is it that we truly love? Oh, I know the first thing we say that, oh, I know I should love the lost. You should. But you know why we don't as much as we should? Because we haven't dealt with the first question. Do you love the Lord? Too often we're trying to make ourselves fisher of men, and Jesus says, no, I'll make you fishers of men. So how do we start? We follow. Peter and Andrew, they dropped their nets and they followed him. And you know what? God made them fishers of men. Only God can take a broken individual like Jonah, go to a broken city that honestly was on the brink of being destroyed by God's judgment, the most reluctant missionary, become the greatest evangelist in recorded history. God can use the broken to reach the broken. We're without excuse. Amen? We have a great and mighty God, and how exciting it is that we can follow Him to bring honor and glory to His name. Let's bow our heads together this morning. I'm going to pray and ask the Lord to challenge you with this message, to break our hearts that we'll be ready to follow Him. But more than that, folks, before Jonah ever went onto the mission field, God had to work on his missionary. Church, are we willing to ask the Lord to work on us? Are we willing to open our hearts and say, God, you've got to look inside. You've got to talk with me. Where am I in your will? Am I running? Am I running from you or am I running to you? Let's ask the Lord those questions this week. Let's examine the things that we're doing, the things that we are investing in, and ask the Lord, God, is this for your glory or for mine? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for sending people such as Jonah, those that we can relate to, that challenges our own hearts, that we can take the time and say, God, we want to be used of you. But God, we know that you have to work on your messenger before we're sent. So God, work on us as a church. Work on us as individuals. Help us to examine our own hearts. God, do we love you as much as we proclaim to? Is our love being exercised toward you in our faithfulness and our service and our investing in you? Would others look at us and see that we truly love you without ever saying a word? God, does the community look at us and realize that we truly love them? God, we've got to get the first things first. So God, teach us to love you that we may in turn be the example of your Son Jesus. And as we reach into our community, that they'll see our love for you, and that as we lift you up, that you draw all men to yourself. Lord, we thank you for your church. We thank you for loving us and saving us. We thank you for using us. Help us to focus in on the exact purpose that you have given us in the Great Commission, that we may be found faithful, that we may be found working diligently when you return to take us home. Lord, may you bless your people as they return to the mission field. May you bless them in everything that they put their hands to, that they may grow, that they may prosper, and they may bring honor and glory to your name. Thank you for sending your Son, Jesus. For it's in his name we pray. Amen.